On a great 28th day of September, week number 8, 2016, William Todd here from beautiful Malibu, California. The surfers are on their boards to my left. The sun is very bright, and we had 100 degrees here yesterday. Very odd for the beach community, but I wanted to just say welcome to everybody and a huge reminder as well as a huge thank you. We sent a survey. We snuck a survey into last night's invitation. And for those of you that did take the 3.5 minutes to fill that out, we thank you. We appreciate that. The feedback has been phenomenal. But for those of you that didn't see it, it was in the invitation, the remainder invitation that was sent out last night. Scroll down about halfway through, and there is a invitation to about half a dozen questions that we deemed very critical for us just after midway through this this course. So if you would be kind enough to go back and look for that email and click that that survey, it just takes a couple minutes. It's multiple choice. If for whatever reason you did not get that survey, please just send me a quick email at william@thementorinme.com. William@thementorinme.com, and I'll send you the link to that as soon as humanly possible. But we'd like to collect all of those results by the end of the weekend. Michael, how was your ICANN Rogers communication attitude today?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it's suited to the lesson that we just came through, because I had exactly one of those situations in my life where I really needed to maintain an objective point of view, that it is not personal, and that no doesn't ever mean no. It's just, you know, they needed a little bit of I had the solution in mind that I was going to solve the problem, whether the people who were working with me or not were willing. And just by holding on to that, I was able to escalate a situation and get my problem resolved literally within a matter of minutes, where I had been waiting for almost 5 hours empty-handed. This was to do with my internet. But I guess the point of the matter is, I could have gotten all upset and angry. I could have caused even more problems. I could have been delayed even further. But by staying on point, staying positive, knowing a solution was at hand, I was able to help the people who couldn't see it for themselves move through it. So I was completely dependent on other people waking up to the fact that there was a solution that they needed to help me with, even if it was passing it on to somebody who was more capable. So it just goes to show you how much having the right attitude going into a situation can influence the situation. I know this is not news to anybody, but when you see it happen in real life, kind of when you sort of pat yourself on the back and say, you know, yes, I can. Way to go.
Michael, so just out of curiosity, at no point did you want to go back to some old paradigms? You stayed composed for the whole course?
No, it's not that. It's not perfect. It's, you sort of walk yourself through the emotion. Rather than have the emotion get the best of you, you just recognize that, okay, there's a problem here. We're frustrated. People are not doing their job properly. And it was crazy. I mean, I had the service tech just walk out of me and say, I can't spend another hour here. I got to go to the next call. I'm like, you're going to leave me without internet? Seriously? Okay. So it's just, you go through it, but you keep it contained. You sort of recognize that, okay, this too shall pass, and you move on. And then you move into the next phase, which is, okay, need to solve the problem. If they're not going to solve it, I need to solve it. So let me help them solve the problem.
Beautiful. Well, Marty, there you have it. You've got two absolutely perfect students here ready to listen to week 8.
I don't know about absolutely perfect, but you guys are something to watch on a daily basis. There's no doubt about that. Many of you know that that William has got a book soon to be published, and he's working with Bob Proctor. And Proctor, in reviewing the book, said he'd forgotten how bad William really was. So take courage in that, everyone. Welcome to Lesson 8. This is ICANN 2, Lesson Number 8. And we begin with this understanding that your experiences matter because you have pioneered, or perhaps evolved would be a true description, onto something Scott Peck called the road less traveled. But the challenge is that all acts of intention and creation start with a commitment that must be followed with near unflinching action. How do we do that? How do we keep the principled actions in the absence of proof that our efforts will be rewarded? Well, my mentor calls this part of the work right-sizing the boogeyman. We have to move through our mental construct of fear. William calls it hitting the terror barrier. And there are many other ways of describing this breakdown in our thinking. That's right. It's in our thinking. It's in our mind. Remember that old left brain's need to protect us? We're hardwired to act out old patterns. Those old movies we play in our heads usually will end with the ego or that negative friend or relative saying, "I told you so." But when you break through this fog, this fear, obligation, and guilt, those same people will say, "Oh, you are so lucky. Everything just comes to you." But that doesn't make any sense. Good fortune is not luck. It's a result of forming new and better habits. My I can attitude means forming positive habits. I will choose my words carefully to reflect an I can attitude, which is a master key to attracting, acquiring, and maintaining customers. Now, your weekly emails, as William mentioned, are proof that it's working. This group has added so many new customers and auto ships, new seniors, new retail customers. So you might be wondering, why are you talking about negative thinking again? Aren't we done with that? Well, only you can answer that for yourself. But my experience is that once you start heading down the success path, everything that can obstruct and delay you will. And it's not personal. It's just that we're taking new actions and we're expressing a new kind of self-awareness, and that can cause pushback. Remember, every action does seem to have an opposite reaction. The good news is we don't do negative. We focus on the task and we trust principle to overpower that obstacle. Our principled attitude has the power to win when we habitually choose to think positive thoughts. Remember, negative thoughts are things, objects. Sounds a bit weird, but a negative thought is like an object in the spiritual or the hidden part of us. It's like a table or a chair in the physical world. A negative thought is a thing, and that thing doesn't become yours until you claim it. That's right. Think about it in the physical world. If you don't take an action to claim a table or a chair, it's not yours. Perhaps you buy it. Maybe you reserve it at a restaurant, because what if someone tries to sit at your table? You would just say, "Excuse me, that's my chair." If a person tries to remove a chair or a table from your house, we have a name for that too. It's called theft. Someone is taking your chair. It's yours. You call it yours and you own it because you decided to own it. Our thoughts are very similar. We have to claim an idea as ours to own it. To keep it, we habitually claim that idea. So now, take a moment. Consider just how many of those bad ideas you call yours. Here's a real common one. You make a mistake and you immediately say, "Oh, I'm so stupid. I can't talk to people. I'm in trouble." Well, the problem is that your inner self doesn't know you're just venting, or whatever you want to call it. Your results follow your actions like the night follows day. And we have also learned that many of those negative thoughts aren't even new bad ideas. They're like a family heirloom. We may justify our bad thinking by saying, "Oh, I got that from my mom," or "My uncle was like this." Like they magically passed the fear of people gene onto you. "Oh, I knew I'd fail. It's in our family." Seriously? Have you listened to yourself around making these statements? Would you let anyone else talk to you the way you talk to you? Most of us wouldn't tolerate that kind of innuendo. And in my experience, most of these crazy ideas are from my youth. The good news is that those old ideas can be written over with positive actions. Yes, actions, not thinking. So let's look at letting go of that negative voice in our heads. What is your inner critic saying that's making your life so difficult? And why would you continue to listen? It can cost you some of the great moments in life, and eventually it can crowd out your success. So what's a negative critic? Let me give you an example. My father. My dad was a really intelligent man. He had a huge vocabulary. He could recite pages-long poems and stories from memory. He was well-liked. He succeeded at every job he held, but he owned a number of really bad ideas. For example, he believed that everyone with money was a crook. Yep. If you had money, you were either a thief or an exploiter of other people. That's a toxic, bad idea because it prohibited him from ever achieving any significant personal success. And I heard him say those things so often that I had to fight to keep them from becoming the scripts that would be used by my inner critic. I had to work and act according to what needed to be done rather than listen to those negative voices in my head that kept telling me that I would fail or that success would mean that good working people would look down on me like they do on the boss man. I had to break out of that poverty mentality. One of the first things I did with my newfound success was I bought a big, beautiful house on a hill overlooking the city in which I lived, and I couldn't wait for my family to see what I had achieved. I was a success. Well, the first night Dad and Mom arrived at the house, my dad was unusually quiet and uncharacteristically serious. I took them through the house, showed off my kids. I just generally gushed about my good fortune. When Dad and I were alone, he stood by the big window in the living room, and he said, "Boy, I'm glad I don't have to do today what you're going to have to do today to get a place like this." And then he looked right at me with a kind of a hurt expression, and he said, "Marty, our people don't live in places like this." And here's the really sad thing. His inner script about wealthy people being crooks was blinding him to a wonderful happening right in his own family. He failed to see that his years of eking out a living to provide for me had paid handsome dividends. His job as a father was a huge success. His son had a beautiful family, a wonderful home, and we were safe. Now, please don't misunderstand. Dad wasn't a mean person trying to hurt my feelings. He just had a wrong idea that he believed to be true, that Jeffries don't have rich person's genes. It's crazy. And time didn't heal the problem. He could not let go of that idea about his side of the family. Just before he passed, he did say that perhaps I had inherited the good business genes from my grandpa. Business genes. I'll tell you, the thing I got from my grandpa was not to believe everything that negative people say. And that is why we all need a decent mentor and sponsor, a place to learn and practice better ways of thinking and taking right action, a place where like-minded, positive, self-aware people hang out. Do you know a place like that? I certainly hope so. So here's the takeaway. Thoughts as things don't have to be owned. You can send them to that big recycle outlet in the sky. My mentor taught me that thoughts are like trains. I don't have to catch everyone that passes through the station. In fact, I want to pick the right train so I can get where I'm going. So how do I know which thoughts are good and which thoughts I should let pass through my mind? A simple answer is that good things are based in principle. That is really why we call them principles or rules. They always work. So here's a simple test. what is the fruit of this thought or action? If it is good, then we should catch that train of thought. If the outcome is something we already know only too well, limitation and fear, then we don't hold on to that. Let that train depart without you. We take the right action, and regardless of the outcome, we continue to take that right action. Sooner or later, you will have others telling you, you're so lucky. Now, if you're experiencing a bit of fear and hesitation, don't be too concerned. This is a stage of development. And since no one is in development 100% of the time, it's really more about how quickly we get back on track. So it's good to tell your mentor when things are really working. And it is just as important to tell us when things are tough. And I want to thank you for doing that. You will experience both of these emotions if you do this work. Now, if you're not doing the work, it may be because you are not taking power over those old thoughts. Taking power means saying no to the fear of change, no to the fear of reaching out to help someone, and no to whatever old fearful idea is holding you back. And that isn't always obvious. It can be quite subtle. Perhaps you just don't see how all of this will make any difference. Well, maybe it hasn't so far. But let me begin with a more in-depth explanation of what you are building when you take time to gather your five active customers. Remember that when we started, we talked about building a foundation. We said that unless the foundation was secure, the structure would collapse. Everybody knows that, right? But here's the challenge. Building a foundation isn't where the big money is. It's where we've gained stability. No immediate big money is why so few people take time to do it correctly. But it's fundamental to long-term success. It begins with the idea of customer traffic in our virtual store. Now, this is a basic number of customers. Every business requires a basic number of customers because where there are customers, the sales go up. I know that sounds a bit simplistic, but it's an important principle in marketing. Think of it this way. If you have a motivated group of people in one area, customers and shoppers, sales will go up. Let me be even more specific. If you get a group of people in an area excited, the customers will buy more, and they will buy items that they would not normally plan to buy. Remember the old Kmart blue light specials? Well, here's an area in the store in which the retailer would turn on a blue light to indicate that special items were being sold at a discount. This old ploy is still used at QVC and other successful television shopping networks. And here is why that is important. To motivate customers, you will require customers who are excited because they perceive value. Without satisfied customers, you will have difficulty getting other potential customers excited. And here's another not so obvious reason. If you don't have regular customers, you may feel a bit anxious, and that anxiety has a multiplier effect. Because when you become anxious, you may find your motivation is wrong. You are no longer customer-centric. You're hungry. And it's daunting to start from scratch each month. So that's another great reason why just five active auto ships can make such a difference. We will be much more excited to tell people about something when our regulars are happy and we know it. And here's another real bonus. Happy customers tend to tell their friends and family, sort of like a basic pulse, a heartbeat of sorts. We know that no matter what, our five AutoShip customers are there. And if we've helped our group to secure their five AutoShip customers, it feels like the business has energy. We're not maybe into the big money, but the front door is open and it will stay open. Now, you're going to find it much easier to invite people to join you as a colleague when you have this very minimal requirement met and maintained. Why? Well, because now we are absolutely certain it can be done because we did it and because we see others doing the same thing. It's not rocket science, but it is about staying in integrity. You will feel much stronger with the five AutoShip customers in orbit around you. Now you can tell anyone that you are helping people and that you will show them how to do it too, if they wish. Now you have a way to measure progress in your group. The group members are healthy when they keep their five in orbit. Plus, our experience has shown that an active AutoShip customer will on average bring at least two other customers to you because you have taken an interest in them. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about upgrading or paying an AutoShip customer to bring other customers. It just happens that when you are in touch with and support your AutoShip customers, they tell friends and family, and now those people want to hear what you have to offer. And yes, they can and do upgrade. But that isn't the end of the good news. When you teach others to create a business foundation in this way, the laws of exponential growth become a factor. As an example, if you have three on your front line and they each have five customers, together with your customers, you have 20 AutoShips. If that continues down three levels, you have 200 AutoShips. And with three across four levels down, you have 605 AutoShip customers. Now, those are perfect world numbers, of course, and getting this perfect is not realistic. But in reality, you will have many more than just five customers. They'll have a variety of descriptions. If you're working at this, you will truly have a business. Remember that old marketing paradigm where there are people, there are sales? Well, the better we are at mentoring and inviting colleagues, the more people there are. And consumables are great, but durables, they're exciting. They're unique. In the marketing sense, they're sexy. Remember, when you bring people in your organization, you are also bringing consumers. All of us need a wellness home. And so as you build your business, the durable sales will increase. And we aren't relying on only that. Our marketing plan will bring customers to us through social media or via an entire program that's being designed to provide the way you can keep your customers engaged and happy. A plan designed to bring all of us together for good. This activity will create more activity, and that is why more people will join our business, people who buy and sell durable items just like we do. Now, if I do the math, I must realize that my little AutoShip business pays the expenses in the beginning, but it's more important as the framework for introducing and offering Nikken durable products to a better educated and energized group of people. People who now know what we mean by self-care. They know the benefits of these incredible technologies. They're now like-minded people, people just like us. Your emails tell me that many, if not most of you, are well on your way to achieving, and many of you have way surpassed your goal. Now, if you've contacted a person, remember that it is super important to follow up. If follow-up is hard for you, keep this in mind. They have the right to tell you that they aren't interested, okay? So don't feel for a moment like you have to sell them or pressure them, because this is the ugly networking truth. Too few people follow up, and countless good customers and colleagues are left wondering if you really cared in the first place. Follow-up is an act of respect. You ask them to watch something or try something? Well, if they did, they may have plenty to say to you about it, but that doesn't mean they're going to call you to say it. So follow up. Don't listen to your opinion of who will or won't be interested. Approach all of them with respect, a respect that says, hey, it's totally okay for you to say no or for you to say I'm not interested right now. But be ready to hear plenty of yeses, because you planted the seeds in the right way. You are offering products that they didn't even know they needed. That's our business. We have two distinct paths. First, we get our customers. You aren't trying to recruit anybody with this call. You're offering something that no one else can offer, a connection to life-changing products and a meaningful way of life. And that isn't all. You have the SAQ, which can help them determine just where they stand regarding the five balance concepts. Now, the second path is to approach others regarding this home-based business career. The third phase in our foundation. Here you truly have something to offer. You have your experience and the support of your sponsor and his or her sponsor as a mentor and coach. Now, in closing, let me say this. I only hope you can feel the momentum that's building in your group. Momentum is great stuff. You know, over 20 years ago, Michael DiMuccio and I built a NECAN business in a town of 38,000 people. In 3 weeks, we booked $218,000 worth of volume. It was at a time a company record. And now here's the really good news. We both agree that what you're learning to build is better and more long-term, because we found it impossible to maintain that business because we weren't customer-centric yet. Now, that experience taught us many lessons, and I am so happy that we have an answer to the challenges we faced back then. NECAN's a great company, and it deserves a strong and solid field. We've entered the last month of this ICANN 2 attitude session. Now is the time for the application of what you have memorized, what you have seen, and what you have experienced. This week's homework is primarily action, but you'll need to keep your head straight to do it. First, review and confirm that you can recite all six ICANN attitude concepts from Lesson 1. 2, read or listen to this ICANN attitude Lesson 8 once each day for a week. 3, get your 5 auto-ship customers in orbit. And don't stop there. If you have more, bring them. 4, check on the people you sponsor to confirm that they have 5 auto-ship customers in orbit. And that's whether they're in the ICANN program or not. It's just a good thing for everyone to do. 5, use the current incentives to approach a number of business prospects. And 6, send me a review of this week by Tuesday of next week. Share your successes and tell me where you feel you're stuck, if you are stuck. And try with each reading or listening to hear something you didn't get before. These insights are the money shot. This means you're getting it for you. I lost my brother Paul this last week. Paul was just a great guy, died of a terrible fight with cancer over 2 years. And, you know, one of the interesting things about him was he was always, always so jealous of anybody that could do this kind of a business. He just loved the idea. He just would not discipline his mind to do it. So I'm just really, really sorry for my loss. But I want to share with you that what you're doing is worthwhile. What you have is good for people. I only wish he would have got some of that to him sooner. Thank you very much, and back to you, William.
Thank you, Marty, and God bless you, and Godspeed to your brother, Paul. I know he's resting in a place without the pain that he was suffering for so long. So thank you for showing up tonight. As this was a last-minute thing that occurred, and it just shows your dedication to this course as well. As a reminder, everybody, if you took the survey, if you did take the survey, thank you. If you did not take the survey, it helps us greatly to judge how we continue this course moving forward. It's on the invitation that came in last night. If you can't find that, just email me at william@thementorandme.com. William@thementorandme.com, and I'll send you the link. And lastly, I was reminded during listening to Marty that I had a call 3 days ago from a member that sponsored a new business builder and 2 new customers. And when I asked her, to what do you owe the success to that from, she said, my ICANN attitude and sending them the SAQ quiz. So don't underestimate the power of that. as you all still have some membership time left before that is not going to be as affordable as it is right now, which is free of charge. Michael, closing comments, and we'll let everybody go.
Again, I just want to thank Marty for tonight's lesson, especially in lieu of what you're dealing with on a personal level. I do want to underscore the importance of that survey, and we're going to be utilizing that information for, so please get to it right away. And with respect to the FAQ, if you do have some feedback where that's concerned to help us improve what we need to improve on, if that's inconceivable, with respect to design or implementation, I want to encourage people, this is an important reach-out mechanism for you to be able to get engagement with people and sort of bring that back onto top of mind as an amazing tool to get that first conversation started and invitation to have a look at the program. There was something that came up with respect to the SAQ. I think Marty had mentioned this, and that is there might be some hesitation on the part of somebody who's taken the SAQ to confront the reality of their score, the fact that they, in fact, are not doing as well as they might have thought. It sort of brings a sore spot to the foreground. And they may not be as responsive as you'd hope when you first tried following up. That doesn't mean you shouldn't continue to try following up. Sometimes it takes a day or two or even a week or two before it starts to settle in that they really need to take a look at this. So just a simple nudge and reminder of a great tool that we have at our disposal to take the time and get some more invites out there. That's it. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week.